Hello and welcome to Earth. I trust you have left your preconceived notions, prejudices, and disbelief when you set foot on this, the most controversial planet in the solar system. Good, because now you will have to be receptive to new concepts, alternate takes on history, and even have your perception of reality challenged at its very core. But don't be afraid. Think of it as an opportunity to free your mind from the communal thought that has influenced you ever since before you were aware of what was going on in the world. Today's date is February 4th, 2017. But next, we welcome a true pioneer and good friend of the program, Tom Donahue, back to the show. He was the host of America's Town Forum, a radio program heard on over 150 stations nationwide. And he was one of the first to talk about the New World Order and other subjects called conspiracy theories. He'll be on for the first hour, and we'll follow up with open lines tonight with Dr. Drake, Dr. Truth, Tom Donahue, and you this week.
The world government, world army, world central bank, world currency, world microchip population.
Theme song says it all. Let's rock, Doc. Greetings and welcome to the most controversial planet in this solar system. This is the radio show called Earth. I'm Dr. Drake, your Capitano, on the third rock from the sun's radio airwaves. And across from me is the elite's most wanted, because he is the shock jock who knows more about them than Dr. Spock. He is my kin, my friend, my light-skinned twin. He is Dr. Truth. Can you handle Dr. Truth?
You can't handle the truth.
I don't think so, baby.
Time to howl at the wolves. It's Saturday night, February 4, 2017, or 2017. Drake, what do they say at the Bilderberg Group?
As you like it, again, we ask that you get out a pen, because we're going to say some things you might not. In fact, we don't want you to believe. We want you to check it out for yourself.
In studio with us, our resident contributor, AA, Amendment Avenger. How are you?
Great to be here. Freedom is still your first best destiny.
Executive producer, The Sentinel.
Ready to rock on another Saturday night, gentlemen.
Tell you what, folks. Toll free 855-711-8255. We're going to do open lines in hour two. If you want to join the program anytime tonight, you can call in 855-711-8255. For this first hour, we have a great guest, longtime friend of mine, friend of the show. In many ways, the show doesn't exist without the man I'm about to introduce, folks. He is a legend of talk radio, national talk radio. In the early 90s, he was on over 150 stations throughout the country, broadcasting out of Jacksonville, Florida. But he's joining us tonight from Philadelphia. Tom Donahue, how have you been, man?
Yeah, I'm broadcasting with you alongside from the cradle of liberty, Philadelphia. Sometimes a city of brotherly love, but you guys are my brothers, and I'm so glad to be with you.
Tom, we just wanted to say, without pioneers like you, I mean, you were telling the truth about the elites when we had no idea, when you were considered the crazy guy. But the world is starting to wake up and find out, wait a minute, there's a lot of truth. Everything he's been saying is true. What's going on? So thank you.
We were an extreme minority back then in the 80s and early 90s. You know, I had a certain vision and a calling, and that was to take this message far and wide, coast to coast, border to border. And when I started bringing these meetings into Dallas, Texas, with speakers like Eustace Mullins and former Congressman George Hanson, and among others, Bo Greif, we were rattling the cages. And we got a call. This was interesting. This was in 1987. Myself and my organization at that time, the American Liberty Association, was selected by the Dallas Morning News, Dallas Life Magazine, that they felt that we represented the principles and the precepts of the founding fathers for the bicentennial celebration. They did an 8-page color spread on our organization, our group, and the meeting that we were having at that time, and it was for Constitution Day, you know, the bicentennial. And so it was a pretty fabulous article, quite frankly. And we got a call from Todd Fisher and his sister, of course, just recently deceased Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, and said, I can't believe this conspiracy stuff's being talked about. It's being printed. I picked up the Dallas Morning News here in Los Angeles. And so he asked if he could get in touch with Eustace Mullins, and he wanted to create a film about the conspiracy in the New World Order. Eustace actually spent time out there. He called me from Debbie Reynolds' house. So I don't know what happened to that film project, but I kept getting this calling that, we had to have a radio program that would reach across the country, not just sporadically. I mean, there was no internet then. There was no YouTube. There was no way of communicating except through newsletters and trying to, crash the party on talk radio. And so I had this vivid dream, and I woke up in the middle of the night and said, you have to go on radio. You have to do this. You have to be the town crier. And so I ended up, putting together a plan. And part of that plan was to go on Dallas local radio on the weekends. I was a guest on some programs and people thought I was a natural. And before I was just an organizer, I had a communications degree, but I didn't think I was worthy of being a guest. I didn't author any books. And I knew a lot about the media and how to get people publicity. And that's what I was doing. So as time went on, I ended up becoming more in the spotlight. And then I said, okay, I've got some, it's a demo tape, so I'm going to send it out. And so I ended up getting a local gig in Idaho Falls, Idaho, which 7 months later, I ended up replacing a giant in the industry. And then we competed and then we worked together. And that was Chuck Carter for the people. So, I almost feel like it's deja vu. We've got a president that's talking about America First.
Yes.
I almost called my radio show America First, but I was advised by somebody said, people are not going to get it. They're going to think that this is like the 1940s and that it's going to be very limiting in scope. And I said, okay, maybe so. And so I'm going to call it America's Town Forum. And then my organization is going to be called America First. I even had a DBA. And people, when they would send in for audio tapes and books, it was America First. So I had people like Pat Buchanan on. When we were fighting NAFTA and GATT, it was all about exposing the New World Order. It was putting America first. My trademark motto was putting America first, the New World Order dead last. And I meant it.
That's amazing.
Well, this is AA, Amendment Avenger. It's great to talk to you. And as far as America first, I know Donald Trump said that in his inauguration speech. And I just got finished listening to Perloff, actually reading his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. And his other book, which is Shadows of Power, of course, woke me up. In addition to...
I interviewed him back in the day, yep.
Yeah, and so we've had him on the show. He's been amazing. And, of course, he said Eustace Mullins is one of my heroes as well. And I appreciate the work that you did with him because his book, Secrets of the Federal Reserve, has blown my mind. And I actually had a conversation with Perloff about Eustace Mullins' book and the deep research he did when he was at the Library of Congress about Pawns in the Game by Mr.
Well,
Carr.
We brought Eustace Mullins to Jacksonville on several occasions, when I was doing my program right out of WPDQ studios.
Hey, now.
690 on the AM dial, 50,000 watts. But then I also was broadcasting from my beach bungalow, which our good friend Don of the show helped set up a studio for me, home studio.
Neptune Beach.
Still connected through various national networks, whether it be Chuck Carter's For the People or the Sun Radio Network before that, or then Talk America Radio Network. We had a situation where if we lost an affiliate or they changed to a different format or they went bankrupt, we had listeners that were so devoted and they were so concerned about the truth and getting this information out there. They would go and buy satellite dishes, small satellite dish for the station in order to carry the program. And then I took my program, I would run the that day's show on International Shortwave. So you had Bill Cooper, you had my program, America's Town Forum, and we were on WWCR. So there was no, it's like audio tapes, that you could send out to listeners. But if they didn't catch the radio on talk radio or International Shortwave, there was no other way. I mean, now people can type in the word truth. They can type in the word America first. They can type in New World Order. They can type in whatever the subject is. And if you're a discerner as well as a decider on information that you elect to research, you can figure these things out. You can actually put the pieces of the puzzle together. But back then, I was one of the few that were crying out to the American populace that we've got to do something about this. I would say one of the weaknesses at the moment of Donald Trump is the fact that he's not talking about the Federal Reserve in the ways that you and I would talk about it. But then again, when you see, these articles showing, a target, a scope, and a bullet going into the head of Donald Trump, and already letting people like Madonna, music whores like Madonna, talking about she'd love to blow up the White House, or she had dreams and thoughts of blowing up the White House. I think he knows that he is under siege, and it's not just by the progressive liberal press.
You're right.
A story just broke, and I'm sorry, I'm rattling on here, but the story just broke that the Republicans want to take Trump on about the wall because they said, oh, we have to make sure it's paid for. Well, they didn't mind spending $10 trillion on a war that sacrificed such great treasure of our men and women and the armed forces and innocents that were blown up that are collateral damage. They didn't mind spending and going into debt for that. They don't mind going into debt to for whatever their programs are. But now it's in our national vital interest. And they say, oh, unless the wall's paid for and you can prove that, the Republicans are going to buck him.
Well, they already are. And I'm really angry at this Republican Congress for leaving him hanging out to dry to do everything on his own. So they're going along with the Democrats, and it's not about Republican, Democrat, left wing, right wing, but it's about, of course, the Constitution of the United States and restoring America, and just like Trump said, America first. And that's why I appreciate what you said about America first, because that is the most disgusting, abhorrent, revolting thing that anyone from the Council on Foreign Relations can ever hear is the phrase America first. And I agree with you about the Federal Reserve.
Absolutely. You know, these are globalist, internationalists, Satanists that are absolutely on fire from hell, you know, for one world government. And so when you have Brexit and you've got Trump and you've got nationalism. Now, one person that's not getting enough credit for this is Pat Buchanan. You know, not only did I interview him, not only do I think that Pat's on the right track on a lot of things. And yeah, if someone is not as into his, let's say, right-wing ideology as it relates to Christianity or Catholicism or traditional values, well, then, you know, you can argue about that. But the point is that he, you know, took on King George. He called George Bush Sr., you know, George H.W. Bush, you know, King George. And he was talking about America first, and he ran against King George as a sitting president, and he did a pretty good job. He won the primary in New Hampshire. So I really wish that Donald Trump would have given Pat Buchanan more credit and maybe even brought him into the fold. And then even though he was a little bit Looney Tunes, and I took him on, and I actually interviewed him for an hour, Ross Perot hit some of these themes. You know, it was people like myself on the more conservative side, if you want to use labels, you know, but I'm more of an independent. And then you had people like Chuck Carter that leaned a little more left, but still an America firster and a protectionist, like I am a proud protectionist. And then you had Jerry Brown. And you had Ralph Nader, and I mean, you had these strange bedfellows that were fighting and warning against NAFTA and GATT. And what did you have? You had the Bushes and the Clintons united in internationalism and globalism and in so-called free trade. So to me, I am so glad that we finally have, even though he has a repugnant personality, you know, his tantrums, his tirades, his pettiness, you know, he's the epitome of egotism and narcissism. The point is that we all have family members that we may not, we love, but we may not like. And that's kind of like the way he is that, you know, he's sometimes his own worst enemy. But the point is that this is the first time in such a long time that we have someone that's going to do something and already has this early on to save America, to do something right for America, to do the right thing.
Tom, I kind of feel like I would rather hear somebody tell me the truth and I don't like it, but I know it's the truth, than to tell me what I need to hear and is lying to me.
Yeah, but sometimes he doesn't tell the truth, and sometimes he exaggerates, and sometimes, like, at one point he's saying, oh, I knew I was going to, you know, I really thought I was going to lose the election. He said, oh, I knew all along I was going to win the election. You know, I like someone when they say, you know what, I was wrong, but don't dwell on it. But he never says he's wrong. Okay, so he's got a personality disorder.
I love,
you know,
everything
about
that.
I'd rather have someone with a personality disorder, but at least says, you know, I say what I mean when it relates to policy and politics, and the guy is getting things done. But, yeah, he's a bull in a china closet, and there's a lot of glass being broken. But so what?
Tom,
some things are getting done.
You know why, Tom? He's not a politician. That's why I love everything about him. He just says what's on his mind. I mean, I'd rather have somebody like that than an Obama who tells me I'm going to save $25,000 on insurance premiums, and I paid $89 every 2 weeks. Now I'm paying $600 every 2 weeks. I need a part-time job just to pay for insurance premiums.
Right.
I'd rather have a non-politician lie, tell me the truth. I don't care how unpopular it is.
It's interesting how Trump handled the whole thing about, you know, the birther issue. And he got onto that, of course. And there's no doubt that that was a forged document and that he was not born in America. You know, it was either Indonesia or Kenya. But that's okay. You know, I mean, we had an imposter in chief. And so he said, okay. So he said, like, in like three words, he said, he's a citizen. And then he wouldn't talk about it anymore because he figured, you know what, I can't win on this. And it doesn't matter because he exiting office. So there's nothing to be gained by that.
Right.
But I just wish he would stop the feuding with like, say, a Madonna or a Rosie or some other idiot or you know, some you know, imbecile that is insignificant. Stay focused on the mission. I really thought that he was going to lose this thing. I didn't think he could win Pennsylvania. But you know what? The good folks in the hinterland and in the flyover country, we can deal with some of his improprieties. We can deal with some of his insecurities. We can deal with some of his instability. He knows how to get things done. And we're finally going to get someone that's going to get in there and bust up the system and drain the swamp. And quite frankly, he's doing it.
You know why America loves him? America loves him because, again, like I said, he's not a politician. He tells it like it is. And he's like the person, you know, if you got a band, you don't want the renegade, the one who's going to ride the wave and jump off like a Bobby Brown. You want somebody who's going to be there to the end. But he's just telling it like it is, man.
Well, it's an amazing, it really is a phenomenon. You know, it's like he knocked out 17 other competitors. And yes, he said he won debates. Most of the debates he did not win. But the American people didn't care. Who cares if someone wins a debate? If Hillary Clinton won a debate, but she lost the election, which was absolutely wonderful. You know, and then this whole argument, you know, about the popular vote, that is not the system we're under. We're not a mobocracy. We're not a democracy. You know, it was never set up that way by the founders. If that were, if I were Trump, I wouldn't have been arguing this issue. I would have just simply put out a statement and said, it's real clear. I played by the rules and I won. If the system changes constitutionally and it goes to, you know, you just pick up votes from wherever and there's no electoral college, then okay, then I'll campaign in the population basis to make sure I secure the popular vote. The whole thing is that it's just ridiculous to argue those things when you won. So I just hope he gets off the rabbit trails, gets back with clear vision on what this country needs. And the other interesting thing is that he's a pragmatic politician. He's a populist, of course, and a protectionist. Well, we're gonna fix this country. You know, I've traveled all over the world. We're not going to have a dilapidated country, a third world country, as it relates to airports and bridges and tunnels. And he said it doesn't matter what the Republicans did before, the Democrats. He's going to do it anyway. You have to like the pragmatic politics and not just saying, oh, this is conservative, this is liberal, this is Republican, this is Democrat. And he's making the Republicans eat crow. You know, he's making them, yes, you know, have to go along in order for them to have influence.
Aren't you glad we didn't have somebody like a Mitt Romney who gets influenced by the media, John McCain? I mean, those guys, they were like punching bags for the other side because Donald Trump had go up against like 17 other people, like you mentioned. Then he had to go up against Hillary, Bill, Michelle, and Barack. I mean, he was
a
lion.
And the RNC.
And the RNC and the mainstream media. So he was a lion surrounded by a pack of hyenas and came out slaying all of them.
And the Saudis and communist Chinese and the Pope.
And
we're all against them.
And the George Soros that paid $3 billion for a T-shirt.
You're exactly right. You're right. I mean, and then he was his own worst enemy at times. When all of a sudden, you know, he set off a landmine. I was thinking, if you stop being your own worst enemy, you can win this thing. And so that's one of the reasons I stayed off the air and I didn't do podcasts, because it looked like he was gaining momentum, and then the tripwire would come in. I'd say, you know what? I'm depressed. I don't think this can happen now. There's another football. There's another stumble. And he's got all these forces against him. But you know what? Kudos to the American public, to the average. And you, I don't know if you guys, you probably played it. I know you heard it. But as much as Michael Moore claims he hates Donald Trump, you know, when he was talking about Billy Bob and Joe Bob and whatever other Bobs out there, you know, he was talking about how, Trump might win this thing because of how neglected the American worker has been. You know, the working class Americans. And it was, and he had a film, I think it was called Trump something or other. And it was great that he actually, you know, in a conservative talk radio started playing that, even though he claimed that that was just a warning bell. You know, it was a clarion call that, you know, if the Democrats didn't turn it around, Trump could actually, you know, sneak out a victory. And he did.
Tom, you understand this, what I'm about to say, better than most people. And I think Donald Trump get what I'm about to say too. Good press, bad press. As long as they're talking about you, that's free advertisement. He did not have to waste a lot of money like these other people. They outspent him. I can't say how much to one, and yet he won. Good press, bad press. As long as they're talking about you.
There's no question about that. But again, it was the backbone of America. You know, it was the average Joe and Jane that made this happen. And I rejoice and hallelujah. But you know, another interesting thing is I've been very critical of others in the talk media game. Okay.
Inside of and, 2 minutes, Tom, inside of 2 minutes.
Okay. And I have to give some credit to some people that I never thought I would. Mike Gallagher, Sean Hannity. Of course, I would give credit to Michael Savage, but I didn't think that they would get on the Trump train so early on and really fight this out and fight against their fellow hosts, their syndicating companies. But they somehow realized that this was the only person, the only political phenomenon, this force of nature that could actually change this country. And they got it, you know, and so I give them credit. I even give credit to Alex Jones. You know, I don't like him personally, but I think anyone that stuck with Trump, even with his baggage, personal baggage, I think that you have to realize that maybe they're not on the other side. Maybe they've been opportunists. Maybe they, maybe stuck to the party script too long. But now that script is gone. They put it through the shredder. You know, they've now realized that this was the last chance to save this country.
Very well said, man. We're going to hit this break, but how many years have you and I argued back and forth about AJ and at least we're on kind of the same page now with him, right?
I find him personally, like to Trump to some extent, deplorable and despicable.
I know.
But the thing is, I don't think he's on the other side. I just think he's an opportunist.
Tom, we'll be right back. Deep inside of Black Sheep Studio, this is Earth.
Planet in the solar system. Here's Dr. Drake and Dr. Truth.
Folks, this show has a Facebook page. You go to Earth Radio Network. That is the Facebook page, Earth Radio Network. And of course, the show's website is earthradionetwork.com. Earthradionetwork.com. Tom Donahue is our guest for this first hour. Tom, I have to thank you publicly. I've thanked you privately plenty of times. You and I have many, many telephone conversations over the years, but you really let me cut my chops on radio when you interviewed me, of course, about 9/11 a couple of times on your show, and you let me host your show, guest host your show for 3 hours, and that was a learning experience.
You did a great job. I appreciate it. You're filling in. I appreciate it. Your expertise and your efforts, you know, as it relates to 9/11 and other vital subjects. I also send my kudos and, you know, my applaudits to you guys. I was just thinking about this gray area. You know, we're in this gray area of politics where it's not just black and white. It's not just left and right. It is really an area of, like, what is right for the nation? You know, what is, you know, we want to be as constitutional as possible, but this whole purist positioning that some of these hosts did, and I know from being program director at TalkStream Live that we have our own streaming ratings and rankings, and I also look at other rankings and ratings within broadcast media, and all the hosts that lined up against Trump, they all faltered. They all took a hit. They, you know, the audiences that were their prime audiences have rejected them, you know, have hold them in contempt. They have disdain for them because they were saying, well, you know, he's been married 3 times. And they went into all these criticisms that had nothing to do with policy, had nothing to do with saving our country. And right. Yes, I would like things to be a more purist constitutional system. The infrastructure bill is not going to fall into that category. But you know what? If we spent all this money that we've wasted on senseless wars and getting nothing out of them except, you know, destruction and death, then I think that it is time to rebuild our nation. And I'd rather see money invested in America than invested elsewhere. And so, I just take a great umbrage with some of these programs and some of these hosts that, are trying to be holier than thou and think that they're the pure and they're going to stand up for, they think they're back in the Reagan era, you know. And if you look at Ronald Reagan, and there was a lot of good things he attempted to do, but he was surrounded by a pretty shady cabinet, you know, a cabinet that that were CFR and Trilateral Commission. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little concerned about a few picks of Trump. But I think that the difference is that he's a kingmaker. He's in charge. And if he doesn't like what someone's doing, they're going to get told. Whereas before, Reagan was they said that Reagan was introduced to his cabinet. Yeah, right. You know, George Bush Sr. and George Shultz and people like that took control of his administration. But Trump is taking control of that. And I like Mike Pence. Mike Pence is a fellow radio broadcaster. And then, of course, that helped propel him into his congressional career. But he seems very authentic. And yes, he actually did satisfy the interest of those that are further to the right and very conservative in traditional values. But I like him. I think he's genuine. I think he's a good guy.
One thing about
But I am concerned about the mobile Exxon guy. You know, I am concerned about a few of these Wall Streeter types. You know, but maybe he felt like he needed those guys, and he's done business with those guys, and maybe he thinks that they know they'll be on a short leash. But you know, so we're not going to get everything we want. But already within a week's time, there's already so many things underway that's actually to the benefit of our country.
But Tom, one thing America knows is no one's perfect, but he is the perfect guy for the situation. Think about this. People have seen this man do what Obama didn't do in 8 years. Trump has done more in 8 days, you know, just than Obama did in 8 years. Think about that.
Ronald Reagan's adopted son, Michael Reagan, and he was a radio broadcaster at one time, and I met him. I know him, but not all that well personally. He actually came out and wrote an article and said that, you know, not man, his dad, you know, Ronald Reagan, that there's been never a president from anything that he's read and anything that he's experienced that has been a harder worker and has put so much on his plate and actually is getting things done. And so it's absolutely true. Well, you know, I knew from before that he says that in order to get things done in his life, he usually sleeps less than 4 hours a night. Mm-hmm. And it's not because he has insomnia. It's just because he needs more hours in the day. But here's a man at 70 years old, and Ronald Reagan came to office, he was 69, and you would never think he's 70. And someone said to him, well, how are you going to spend your nights if Melania is not there? And talk about a gorgeous woman. And of course, he was a guy that enjoyed beauty pageants, but and elegance and whatnot. But he said, well, I'm going to get more work done. Hmm. So while she's in New York, that's great. You know, so here's a guy that's saying, no, I'm not going to be lonely. It gives me more time, so I'm not distracted. Who would have ever thought that? You know, I mean, I think he's played a round of golf today or something. But for the most part, this guy, that's all he wants to do is work. He doesn't enjoy vacations.
Well, earlier you talked about his narcissism. And yes, he is cocky and arrogant and dominant and self-assured. But I think he falls short of the classical definition of narcissism because unlike what Clinton said during the debate, during her last closing statement, during the last debate, people are not units of energy to be consumed and to be discarded, as Hillary said. Definitely check out her closing statement during the last debate. She pretty much told us to her face that we're units of energy to be consumed and for her to discard. I believe that Trump sees people as people. And definitely,
he's very relatable to the common man. I mean, they say he's like the blue collar billionaire. And that's true. He has people skills. But recently he's been talking about we rather than I, but most of the time it was about I. Now,
right.
If you look at people in power, and it's business, media, you know, the acting community, even whatever the profession is, usually when you get to that level, it's very difficult for to not be dealing with someone with an out of bounds ego. So, yeah, and we know Obama was that way. We know Bill Clinton was that way. Hillary Clinton. So it's not unusual for someone that gets into the power grid, you know, in these powerful circles to behave that way. So I'm a realist, you know, and I'm someone that actually I'm not just because I favor someone, like say it's a sports team or whatever it might be. You know, if someone doesn't perform well, or someone has certain insecurities or liabilities or shortcomings, I say it, but doesn't take away from the performance.
Right.
So
and so there's a lot of people that, you know, they become blind followers. I'm not a blind follower. Mm-hmm. I know the good, the bad, and the ugly of Donald Trump.
So are you happy that Trump is in?
And I was initially against him when he first started to run because I thought it was a show. You know, I thought he was just trying to be the shock jock of politics. And then I realized, wait a minute, he's in it for real. This is a real campaign. He really wants to win. He really wants to do these things. And so he won me over. It never changed my personal opinion of him. But the point is, I can separate. It's like JFK. We know JFK was a womanizer, just like Donald Trump's a womanizer. There's no question about that. Bill Clinton's a womanizer. But that doesn't make him bad for the nation. And it was really interesting that Billy Bush tape, Access Hollywood. Of all people, a Bush. I don't hear people talking about that, but if that wasn't a Jeb Bush setup,
right,
that they knew that tape existed. And if you don't think Billy Bush told Jeb Bush that he had that tape, and the family said, it's going to hurt your career, but, you know, we've got billions for you. You're going to do just fine. But we have to use it against Donald Trump. That was the last resort. And that still didn't bring him down. The Celebrity Apprentice thing. What is he doing tweeting Arnold Schwarzenegger? I mean, that's just ridiculous. Who cares about The Apprentice anymore? You are the president of the United States.
We hear you, but he's still human. He's not as polished as the rest.
He can't help himself. It's crazy, but you know what? It's that personality that's driving these other things. So in many ways, sometimes your dysfunctionalities actually, accelerate the performance in the areas that we're interested in.
Well, it's sort of like any superhero that has a strength but an equally associated weakness that comes with the package.
Right.
And some people don't like that he's, sending out his stuff, information like how he's doing it. But I'm totally cool with that, because if we left it up to mainstream media how the rest did, we would just be eating the purple Kool-Aid, drinking the purple Kool-Aid again. But
well, no, I don't have a problem with the tweeting. It's just it's the subject matter that's tweeted at times.
Right. Well, I got you.
Ronald Schwarzenegger, let him die with his poor ratings.
Now,
who cares?
He had to say something about that.
Well, Ronald Schwarzenegger still can't speak English very well. And he's been here, 60 years?
He had to say something about The Apprentice.
Well, if you think you're going to be leader of the free world, you have to have a big ego. And I think that comes with the territory. Anybody who runs for president, you have to have a big ego. As it's a prerequisite to even throwing your hat in the ring.
Right.
So it does. It is connected.
Tom, real quick. For the first time, we've talked about it on the show prior, but for the first time in a long time, you have someone running for president of the United States who's talking about not globalism, but Americanism. You know, he has the courage. He knows, he's aware of the New World Order, and it's a breath of fresh air.
Well, you said something. I'm going to correct you just slightly. He's not running anymore. He actually won on this. He is in the office.
I understand
talking
this.
About this. He talked about it at his inauguration. Did you see the faces? You know, the Hillary and Bill and Michelle and Barack, they were shell shocked.
And evoking God,
George W. Bush.
Tom,
the things he was saying.
Tom, evoking God also shell shocked.
Yeah.
Well, he stood there to their face and pretty much called them out right there, and they were all around him.
He literally eviscerated both parties. You know, neutered both parties, and it's kind of like the a cleansing and a rebuilding process that's going on right now. It's the restoration of our republic. You know, God has used a lot of different people, and some of them were, and I'll use his expression, bad hombres. You know, that did God's will. You know, and so I think Donald Trump is one of those characters that he is a character. And he can be a raunchy character, and he can be an unruly character. But the point is that he, down deep, loves America. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt, you know, I hear like Glenn Beck, you know, scum like Glenn Beck, the clown, the crybaby, the goofball with the goggles, you know, the faker, the phony, the fraud, attacking Trump and attacking Teddy Roosevelt. Oh, he was a progressive. He liked national parks. Who doesn't like national parks? Come on. I mean, should we just let the corporations take everything? No. So we, you know, the common man wants a national park. You know, it's great. You know, a state park, national park, all those things. But the thing is, he was a great president. You know, and look at the bust he put up there, or the picture of Andrew Jackson. You know, another great president that fought the bankers. So he's already letting people know the people that he looks up to. And so, these guys were revolutionary, and they were rough cuts. And Teddy Roosevelt, the Rough Rider. So it's really interesting that he's kind of that cut of a man, if you will.
Hey, Tom.
The mold of a man.
What's going on with this Berkeley? I mean, with these college students, or or just protesters. We don't.
Some of them are paid professionals, but some of them, these people. It's so funny that when they ask Trump, and again, you talked about an honest reaction, goes,
denying
well,
free speech.
I'll have to see the results of the election because I don't know if I'm going to object or protest. You know, and Hillary said, "Oh, that's un-American." You know, you got to accept the results. The integrity of the political system is to, you know, and our constitutional system is dependent on that. And as soon as she loses by a huge margin, she wants to blame everything on everybody else but herself. And the fact that she was too lazy or too sick to go to Michigan and various other Rust Belt states because she assumed she had it in the bag. At one point, she was so arrogant that she said, why am I not 50 points ahead in this election? I don't understand.
Yeah.
When it was only like she was like 10 points up. And that's the arrogance, you know, of people like Bill and Hillary. And even the Bushes, for that extent. I mean, thank God it's not a Bush or a Clinton. I mean, that's really what the New World Order wanted. They wanted either a Bush or a Clinton. You know, they wanted these dynasties to continue because they know they could get their agenda of internationalism, globalism, and New World Orderism, and, just the one world governmentism.
Well, the Bush brand of republicanism is dead, and we want to keep it dead for now. And, again, no more Bushes, no more Clintons. I think that's a fantastic thing that's going on.
Also, you mentioned...
It's wonderful. And, you know, it's really interesting. Trump was taking hits because he said, well, his policies are somewhat like Bernie Sanders. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, you can try to root out the cause or you can identify, you know, the cause. But the prescription, might be different. And so even though Sanders, you know, is a socialist, borderline communist, maybe communist, I don't know. I used to call him Commie Sanders. The fact is that they still want to help the working class people, and they were identifying the fact that it was these trade agreements and the free trade and the deindustrialization of America. And so people were saying, you sound like Bernie. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what it sounds like. What is the prescription? You know, what's going to solve this? And he has the answers. I mean, there's no question that these trade deals are bad for America, and they have been, and they've decimated us.
And I'll give you that to his credit, he knew that TPP was a bad deal.
We're speaking with Tom.
Hillary was in favor of it until she realized it was not a good election ploy, She then backed away from it. And then, but then when she went to the bankers' meeting, she said she was for it. So that came out.
She smells everywhere she goes. Sticky.
If she got in, you know, TPP would still be alive.
Yep.
But right away, Donald Trump, 86 is TPP. First day, essentially, first week of his presidency. Tom Donahue is our guest, folks. Short segment on the other side. Tom, we'll let you fire out any information you want to. We want to get you back on again sometime, somewhere in Jacksonville, Florida. It's a Saturday night. This is Earth.
Planet in the solar system. Here's Dr. Drake and Dr. Truth.
I bite harder. Donahue is our guest, folks. Tom, thank you so much for joining us this hour. We want to get you back on. Is there any information? Of course, you're affiliated with TalkStream Live. Anything else you want to fire out?
Well, thank you for bringing me out of my shell. You know, I felt like I was in semi-retirement.
It took a while.
I've been thinking about, when I saw Trump was tripping up and there were things that I just thought that we were on the verge of losing our country, and I somewhat got a little depressed. I knew there was multiple voices out there. I didn't think I could bring anything all that unique to the table. But back in the early 90s, I was one of the few voices that spoke about America First, that spoke about exposing the New World Order and the Federal Reserve System. So I don't feel like that I have to carry the weight on my shoulders like I once did back in the day. Because now there's so many sources of information, and there's so many programs, whether it be on streaming, podcasting, broadcast medium, et cetera. So I'm getting, you know, that bug again, and I'm getting more interested, and I think I'm going to start producing more content. But, you know, currently I do work behind the scenes, which helps all the streaming broadcasts through TalkStream Live, TalkStreamLive.com. And we have, you know, so many cool features that we have in terms of our apps, in terms of the website, in terms of we have news headlines that I'm the editor of. So you can always go to TalkStreamLive.com. My website, I'm going to probably reclaim a better URL. But for the time being, you can just type in Tom Donahue Radio, Tom Donahue Reports. You'll find me. You'll find my podcast, prior shows. But the actual website is TomDonahueReports.webstarts.com. TomDonahueReports.webstarts.com. But you can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, various other social media linked through you guys. But I really appreciate you giving me an opportunity for my voice to be heard. I really feel that back in the 90s, I was kind of the antidote and helped, you know, light the fire, the spark, if you will, as a town crier. And Donald Trump now is the antidote politically, and I'm so appreciative. And it's something I stayed up all night watching the election results, and I said, you know what? He just extended the longevity of our country. We still have more years left. And it shows that the New World Order doesn't have an iron grip like we thought they did. You know, it's a looser grip now over America. And so we still have a chance that we're not going to be strangled by globalism and internationalism, we have to put up the fierce fight and we have to be, you know, on guard, and we have to work with him regardless of personality disorders or missteps or broken glass as the bull goes through the china closet.
Well, Tom, it's been a pleasure having you on again, my friend. And like I said, we're going to stay in touch. Thank you so much for all your work over the years. You were the first, okay? You were around long before Alex Jones. So you deserve the credit even way before him.
I learned a long time ago, it doesn't matter who gets the credit as long as the job gets done. And that's where you have to put your ego on the back bench. And I appreciate the fact that you guys have kind of taken that mantle, and so have others. And so we've got a lot more Americans involved. And it was the backbone of the average Jane and Joe that won this election, that extended, you know the life expectancy of our country. And thank God they did.
Well, as a 20-year veteran and retired, as well as a fellow communications major and an American, I salute you.
Thank you so much.
We salute you.
Thank you so much, Tom Donahue.
I enjoyed it. I'll have to come back. And again, thanks for re-energizing me and getting back on the crusade.
Most certainly. We'll hear from you again. Folks, talking about with the good Dr. Drake, AA, Amendment Avenger, and our executive producer, The Sentinel, deep inside our Black Sheep studio. It's a Saturday Night Visitor.